This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into this Wednesday Thanksgiving Eve edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Alongside Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. And with that heavy focus today on the Thanksgiving and Black Friday NFL games coming up, injury updates, betting trends, all the need to know information for those games. And then also, because we will not be in this time slot tomorrow, we're going to be in that early morning follow the money window tomorrow. We're going to make sure that we give y'all our Thanksgiving food takes. Michael, we've got some, we're very opinionated on the food here for Thanksgiving.
Well, obviously, we're Italian. I mean, who isn't? You know, what Italian do you know that's not opinionated on food? I mean, you know, we're not going to Olive Garden, neither one of you or I, you know? So, it's going to be fun tomorrow. I'm happy that we're doing it. I feel bad for you to have to get up at 3 a.m. to get over there and do it. But, you know, I mean, it'll be fun to get up and do it, get it out of the way. And then you can sit on the couch all day and watch football and enjoy yourself. It's a great, great time of the year. I love this time of the year. Although today is 60 years, tragically, that JFK was assassinated in Dealey Plaza. We still don't have a verdict on that assassination. Don't buy the other stuff. Stormy, as you could tell, I harassed Gerald Posner on Twitter every single day for his ridiculous book, Case Closed. That case ain't closed. It ain't closed. Before I go off on a tangent, that case ain't closed. We'll talk about betting from here on out.
What a guy. Yes, we will, if that's all right with you. But I do have one last thing I want to say on Thanksgiving before we move on, is that one thing I'm very, very passionate about in addition to food is please do not text me if you don't think that I have your number. Don't text me happy Thanksgiving or send me a picture of your food. We don't need that. You know, I feel like there's always, I always get some text message from an unknown number, happy Thanksgiving, a gif of a turkey. We don't need that. It's okay. We can just move on. No. But let's move on to some injury updates.
No, but let's take the holiday in the spirit it was intended. Give thanks. I wrote a column for tomorrow for the Daily Coach about extending hand. It's about a first grade story that I think it's not about food as much as we want to make it about the turkey. It's really about being thankful, and we should all be.
Yes. And I am very thankful that I'm going to get to work with you tomorrow, and very thankful that we have a lot of fun games that we can preview. Unfortunately, though, we do have some injury updates in these games. Let's start with the first game of the day coming up tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern time kick. Packers in Detroit taking on the Lions. Good news and bad news for Aaron Jones. The good news is it wasn't an ACL. So instead of the knee injury being season ending, he's listed as week to week right now, but looking unlikely he'll be available to go. And his backup, AJ Dillon, is limited this week as well. So potential problems for the Packers run game. And then we also see Luke Musgrave, their great rookie tight end, suffered a lacerated kidney on Sunday. He played through it, apparently didn't say anything to anybody. Now no timetable to return. He can't travel, so he will be out. And I mean, they had 17 guys on their practice report injury yesterday, Michael, with the guys either limited or did not practice.
Well, and they brought in three running backs to try out, right? And so, you know, they clearly are saying to everybody that Aaron Jones isn't going to play. They're iffy on A.J. Dillon, whether he plays or not. So this is a team that, you know, in their running back situation, they're beat up. And they're going to need to get some help in there. And I think that's going to be the biggest issue is when they're going okay, and that not that they go okay all the time, you know, the Aaron Jones has kind of been that running game matters. And so they had to sign Patrick Taylor off of New England's practice squad yesterday because he was in camp with the Packers. He knows what to do. He'll be dressed for the game. Emmanuel Wilson's hurt too for them. So between Aaron Jones, Dillon being banged up, Emmanuel Wilson, we're going to see Patrick Taylor on Thanksgiving Day against a very good front. It's hard to run the ball in Detroit. Detroit's front, when healthy, is very good.
Yeah, top five run defense in the National Football League. Also, for the Packers defensively, Devondre Campbell, who's their green dot on defense, one of their captains, he did not practice, missed the last 11 minutes of the game against LA with a stinger in his neck. So TBD on him and Jair Alexander, but he's on the injury report all the time. So I don't know how much to put into that one.
And Rudy Ford, their free safety, Rudy Ford's not going to play. So they've got a lot of injuries. And I mean, they're going against a team that ran for the ball for 200 yards on him. And it really, that last game wasn't a close game. Now, Big Daddy wants to know, my cousin Vince, who's a huge Packer fan. What day do you think LaFleur gets his haircut this week for the game on Thursday? Because they got to travel today. They're traveling down to Detroit today. So it means he had to get it on Tuesday.
Oh, no. Does that just throw off the whole schedule then, Michael? Is Vince concerned?
You got to think it does. I mean, tell me when he doesn't have a fresh cut. Tell me when he doesn't have one. I mean, that you couldn't set that number anyway that he doesn't have a fresh cut.
Especially for the holiday. You know that he's going to be ready for the holiday. But what you said about the Lions' previous meeting with Green Bay, obviously we have a 7.5-point spread in this game, but they won 34-20 week four earlier this season, outgained Green Bay 401 to 230 in total yards. David Montgomery had 121 of those and three touchdowns. And that was before Jahmyr Gibbs started breaking out as well. So they've got a great 1-2 punch in the run game. I feel like it's going to be an uphill battle for Green Bay. But then again, Michael, I've counted the Packers out each of the last 2 weeks and they proved me wrong. So who's to say they couldn't step it up in this case? I just feel like this is a different Lions team than we've seen previous Thanksgivings. No.
Remember last year, the Lions beat them twice. And the game in Detroit was really the Packers turned the ball over. The last game of the year, Detroit dominated, but the Packers held them to 34 points in the both games last season. Game one this year, Detroit scored 34. So Detroit's better. Detroit's offensive line's healthy too. And that's going to make a difference, too, as you go into this game. They're physical. They can run the football inside the dome. And the one thing we do know about these Thanksgiving games, Stormy, is other than Dallas, other than what happens in Dallas, the favorites have been very successful at home. The favorites in general have been very successful.
And so speaking to that, Michael, you know, I love me a teaser. And so I've already got one in my back pocket. I did a Lions 49ers teaser, which brings me to this San Francisco game where they are laying 7 in Seattle, total 43.5. And even at full strength, I think that Seattle would have their hands full against this San Francisco team that's obviously got some new life. They got their groove back coming out of the bye. But now you have injuries to both Geno Smith and Kenneth Walker on Sunday. Smith is expected to play through that tricep injury, but he's obviously going to be a little bit compromised in this spot. He lost all feeling in his fingers for a time in that game. And then head coach Pete Carroll said for Walker, who's dealing with an oblique strain and didn't play past the opening series that last game, he's not considered a candidate for IR, but they do need to learn more about his injury and they aren't sure how much time he'll miss. So likely he's not going to go in steps. Zach Charbonnet and DK Metcalf even popped up on the injury report with a toe as well.
Yeah, they're going to need them all. I mean, San Francisco is going to be hard for them to run the ball. Geno's going to have to throw it really well. And this offensive line's going to have to really do a great job of protecting, especially against the five-man rush that San Francisco employs. And, you know, look, I said this on my pod today. I don't understand how, you know, we can talk about C.J. Stroud being in the MVP conversation. We can talk about Tua still being a favorite in the MVP. But we won't talk about Purdy. Like, Purdy's sensational. Purdy's doing things that are just rare. I mean, think about this. His first half, Purdy's 84 for 114, 73.6% completions, 9 touchdowns, 7.6 yards per attempt. You know, he's basically just dominating. He comes out, he's up, he's at 70% completion this year, up from 67. He's at 9.7 yards per attempt this year, up from 8.1. I mean, what more does a fella have to do to get some love? I mean, seriously, what more does he have to do? The guy, and he just keeps getting labeled. He's a seventh rounder. See, he's a seventh rounder. No, he was a blown pick. He should have been higher. He should have been. If Kenny Pickett's a one, what's Brock Purdy? If Mac Jones is a one, what's Brock Purdy?
Yeah, I'm with you. We need to remove that Mr. Irrelevant final pick in the draft narrative about this kid because he's proven enough at this point. It wasn't just lightning in a bottle at the back end of last season prior to the injury. He's carried it over. He's only had a couple of bad games. And even still, Michael bounced back from that. The 3-game stretch where they struggled, he only had 3 touchdowns, 5 interceptions since in the following 2 games out of the bye, 6 touchdowns, no picks. He's also 5-0 with 9 touchdowns and no picks against the division this season. So, I mean, in his career. So I think that he's proven plenty enough. And obviously his teammates love him. 15-1 right now in the MVP awards market and DraftKings. I've also seen as high as 18-1 still available right now, but I'm surprised that he's not getting more love in that market at this point in the season. I know that Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson get the headlines for their kind of more dual threat ability, but even he can punch it through and get a few first downs with his legs. Do want to note also on this game,
but here's the thing, Stormy. I don't understand. They all have. Jalen Hurts he's had two bad games. He's thrown for under 150 yards in the last two games. I mean, C.J. Stroud had three games where he didn't play well. Like, there's every quarter. Mahomes, he's thrown interceptions. Like, why does Purdy pay a price for not playing well in a game that he got concussed in, and everybody else is allowed a mulligan? It just seems so unfair. It's the national narrative. It's just once you get the narrative going in your favor, it's really hard to get it off, even when it's not. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. You know, like, I'm not picking on the guy, but Tua, everybody thinks Tua is the MVP. He's having a great year. And then when you peel back the layers and you look at, okay, Tua on third down, 60% completion. They're 17th best third down team in the league, 7.4 yards per attempt, well below the average. He's run for one first down. He's got six touchdowns and five interceptions. You look at him in the second half, he drops from a 75% completion thrower to 62%. He drops from 13 touchdowns down to 8 with six interceptions. You know, his yards per attempt goes from 9 down to 7.9. His quarterback rating goes from 119 down to 87. So, like, why is he still in the conversation? His team's averaged 20.5 points a game the last four games, and Purdy can't get in it. I said this two months ago. What's the difference between Purdy and Tua?
Well, Michael, and I would just say a lot of the flack that gets on Purdy is because he has all of these incredible weapons around him and the yards after catch. So you're saying Tyreek Hill doesn't help out a guy like Tua Tagovailoa that
I'm going to make you guess how much Tyreek Hill's responsible for first downs passing.
Okay. All right. We'll get into it. Plenty more to come here on the Lombardi Line. We're just getting started.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Betsgiving is back starting today. All of our VSiN hosts, writers, and analysts are competing in a week-long competition to see who's the best bettor at VSiN. You can follow all the bets and leaderboard at VSiN.com, or you can go to the DK Sportsbook app, select social, then betting groups, where you'll be able to join our Betsgiving group and follow all of the action. I haven't placed any bets yet. I have them in my real account. I got to make sure I put them in my DK Betsgiving account so everybody can follow along. I'll make sure I hit on that a little bit later today. And I'm very competitive, so we'll see how it goes. Michael, I did want to, before we get to some of these Turkey Day trends, because we have a lot of them that I want to get into, I did just want to wrap up some of that conversation that we were having about Tom Brady's comments on the mediocrity of the NFL right now and how the development of players has changed over, you know, recent years. And if you think there's something that can be put in place to adjust this so that we don't have a continued year after year, more and more watered down product, how can we make it better?
Well, we got to let the offensive linemen, we got to take away the restrictions on offensive linemen offseason. That's number one. And defensive linemen too, actually, because we need to teach them how not to hit the quarterback. So you need to take those two because you got to develop both those positions. And it would be financially a better situation for teams if they could do that. I think the second thing we got to do is we've got to develop talent. And you have to develop talent in season. You just can't develop talent, you know, in the offseason. You got to pay more attention to teaching fundamentals and techniques. What Brady's referring to is the tackling. The tackling's atrocious. You know, everybody's not tackling it. You know, you can hear Lombardi screaming, grab, grab, grab. Everybody's grabbing, you know, because they're scared to lead with their head. They're scared to do other things. And the tackling is just horrendous. But we got to get back to being fundamentally sound. And that starts in the offseason. It really does. You need to be able to teach young players how to play the game of football. You know, where the pressure points are on a team situationally. You know, for example, if you're a quarterback, and what Brady was talking about, what he was referring to is if the receiver's back is turned to the defensive formation, right, and Brady throws him the ball, Brady's not throwing him the ball to catch it. Brady's throwing him the ball in an area where he wants him to turn and run with it. So he's throwing the ball away from the defender who's coming to the back. Follow me? So if the back's turned – and he can't see who's going to hit him, Brady wants to lead him away from where the hit's going to be. Well, that takes time, effort, understanding, right? You've got to be able to do that. And that requires coaches that know. I mean, how many times have you watched a game? This drives me. This is one of my pet peeves, that you're watching a game and a quarterback takes a sack in an area of the field he cannot take a sack in, or else it's going to be out of field goal range.
Yep. Repeatedly.
And yet they still do it.
Repeatedly.
Repeatedly.
We're screaming at the television.
And you're wondering, like, right, like how you, like I say it before, like I'll say it to whoever I'm watching again. I can't take a sack here. Can't take a sack here. Got it. And the play caller is responsible too, because he's got to be able to tell the quarterback, look, we're going to run blah, 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 blah. Make sure you get rid of the ball. No sacks here. No sack here. Got to get rid of the ball. But that's, and then of course, naturally they take a sack.
I was going to say,
so
Michael,
that's what drives me
crazy. The best part of that is, especially when the announcers on TV say, like, okay, this only thing that can't happen here is you take a sack. And then what inevitably happens, bam, done, out of field goal range, all the problems. But there's that. And then what you talked about with leading the receivers versus putting them in a bad situation. That's another thing I feel like we see a lot, is guys throwing over the middle and just getting clocked because there's three guys coming and you just put your guy in a bad spot. I think it's a great conversation. Yeah. I'm glad that we were able to get to some of that today, but I want to make sure that we get back to the betting side of things here, Michael. And as we approach these Thanksgiving Day games, there are a lot of interesting trends. And so we're going to test things and see if these Turkey Day trends are your friends or not. And we'll start a little bit big picture, because since 2006, Michael, favorites of a touchdown or more on Thanksgiving are not only 21-2 straight up, but they're 17-6 against the spread. So clicking at a 65% clip, all three of our games match that trend. Lions -7.5, Cowboys -11, and the 49ers are up from that 6.5 to 7. So do we think, just big picture, the favorites can get it done again?
I think two of the three will do it. Yes, I think two of the three will do it. I don't think the Cowboys, who are historically very bad on Thanksgiving Day, believe it or not, in terms of covering and even winning, are going to cover that 11 number. I think that 11 number is way too big. I mean, Washington seems to play Dallas pretty well, right? I mean, they do play them half decent. I don't know how they'll do it this week. Dallas beats up on bad teams, I grant you that. But, you know, I mean, you go back to over the course of time, you know, in 2022, the Raiders were a 7-point dog and the Raiders upset them. Yep. So I that's the only thing. I like the Lions probably the most. The 49ers at 7, I'm shocked it went back to 7. It was 6.5 now. I mean, there's probably some 7s out there if you can get it. And I would take that. I would do that, because I think ultimately, you know, this will be it's going to either be a push or you're going to win it.
These division games can get a little bit weird. That's why I think the 49ers are going to win. I feel fairly confident in that. And that's why I used it as a teaser play and I paired it with the Lions. But to go back to the Cowboys and Commanders, Michael, you referenced it and you gave us the note yesterday here on the Lombardi line. Cowboys are 1-11 against the spread their last 12 Thanksgiving games. With Dak, he's 3-3 straight up, 1-5 against the spread on Thanksgiving. They've also been really slow starting in these games, 6 straight now that they have gone into the halftime break trailing at halftime. But you also mentioned the way they've taken care of business largely over lesser than opponents. Obviously, they were a huge favorite against the Arizona Cardinals earlier this season. They lose that game straight up. But of their 7 wins, it's like 5 or 6 of them, Michael, that are by 20 plus points this year. So they have been able to win and win big this season. This isn't a game that I'm rushing to go bet, but like I could see the Cowboys covering it. I'm not laying it, but I could see it happening.
I could too, because this Cowboy team's a little different, right? So we talked earlier in the show about the Eagles' dominance in the second quarter last year, and it's not there this year. 204 points scored last year in the second quarter. They kind of just got ahead of everybody. Well, that version of that team is really residing in Dallas. Dallas has scored 113 points in the second quarter alone. And in the first half, they averaged 19.4 points a game. And in the first half, they give up 8.8 per game. So they are playing from in front, and they control the ball for 32-31. And the defense only is on the field for 27-29. So they're able to play really good complementary football. Their defense has played 100 less plays than their offense. Think about that, Stormy. That's almost 2 games. So what does that say to us? As better, they're fresh. they're ready to go. They're going to be able to rush the passer when they get the lead, you know, and that's usually what happens. And so that's what creates the turnovers that they need to do. So credit the offensive staff, who everybody was predicting doom and gloom to this offseason because they lost the great Kellen Moore. Well, what they're playing is complementary football. And when they do that, they put a lot of pressure on the opposing team's offense to have to convert third downs. And guess what? The Cowboys are the second best third down team in football.
Yes, sir. Okay, how about Packers-Lions? This is the Lions' day. They've been playing on Thanksgiving since 1934, but this day has not always been kind to them, especially in recent history. How many times have we heard people say, get the Lions off my TV screen on Thanksgiving. Let's be done with this tradition because they've been so bad. They have dropped six straight. They are a different team this season. This is the first time the Lions are favorites on Thanksgiving since 2016, but as a favorite, 8-0 straight up as favorites on Thanksgiving the past 30 years. So when they have been in the favorites role, things have gone well for them. Since 2004, 4-0 straight up as a favorite, 0-15 as an underdog. Packers have also lost 4 in a row to Detroit. Are these trends toward the Lions your friends?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Lions, I think you have to almost throw out the past Lions because this is a good team. I mean, this is a good team. I love trends. But this is a good team. And I think what you have to do is look backwards a little bit, right? Do we think that Jared Goff's going to throw three interceptions again like he did last week? You know, I don't think so, right? The Lions are coming off a four turnover game. You know, they had four turnovers and they had four turnovers in the last 5 weeks combined. So they protect the ball pretty good normally, right? The last time Goff threw three picks was 9/29/19. Against the Buccaneers when he was playing for the Rams. He does protect the football. It's uncommon for him to throw three picks. So, I mean, when the Lions lost earlier in the year and they were a 9.5-point favorite down in Carolina, they won, you know. And so I got a feeling when they played, you know, when they were an 8-point favorite versus the Bears and they didn't cover, you know, then they come back and play the Raiders and they're going to win. They win by 8. So I think they'll bounce back. I really do. I like them at 7.5. I just don't see Jordan Love being as successful offensively as he was against the Chargers because I do think these Lions will put some heat on him.
Yeah, Jordan Love, for even though he and that offense have been better lately, the completion percentage still isn't there. I still have a lot of questions about this guy. And when you just look at this game exclusively coach and quarterback, I think it's pretty clear who you feel more confident about, and that's the Detroit Lions. Right. Despite the clean cut, as you mentioned earlier, that we're going to have from Mr. LaFleur, despite the cut, I know it's been life and death with the Lions the last 2 weeks. I think it's firmly life this Thanksgiving. Okay, we're going to step aside. When we come back, the last 2 weeks, we have had the top team in Survivor out. What about this week?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, it's Thanksgiving week, and there's so much to be thankful for. Friends, family, food, and of course, football all week long. And DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action as well. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL game to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
Oh, I love it. Why Not Wednesday, coming to you with a Thanksgiving Turkey Day edition. So we're looking at some long shots, some plus money odds types of bets, and seeing if it can make you turn your head and say why not. Starting with Michael, this Thanksgiving, all teams to score a passing touchdown. So do we think every single team that is playing tomorrow can get at least one passing touchdown, pays 3-1?
Just tomorrow. That means we've got to get Tim Boyle to throw one at 7.1 interception
percentage.
Tim Boyle
is on Friday. We don't need a Tim Boyle touchdown.
We just need one of the I think I definitely, why not play that one? Absolutely, why not play that one?
I think so too. Like Sam Howell, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, Jared Goff. Geno Smith is the one that I think would be a little bit dicey with the tricep injury. Brock Purdy, I think feel pretty confident he's going to score. I like it too. 3-1, not too shabby. I think that we can get there. Now, what about a rushing touchdown? Same teams, only those six teams coming up on Thursday. Can all of them score a rushing touchdown? Way bigger odds here. 13-1 if everybody can get a touchdown on the ground.
There's no way you're getting me to why not. You think Eric Bieniemy is going to call a running play? Seriously. I mean, you think he's going to call a run?
You'd be better. Go ahead.
He's not going to call it. No chance. I mean, and if the Jets are going to score, do you think they're going to be able to run the ball into the end zone against that really good Miami front? No, I'm sorry. Well, that's Friday. Okay, I got that one on my head. Okay, so San Francisco will rush one. Seattle, there's a good chance they could because they will run the ball down there. So that's a 50-50 prop. Detroit definitely will run the ball. They love to run the ball in the red zone. With the Green Bay, they put Musgrave on IR today. They put the other running back on IR. I mean, they don't have any backs. I think they got to throw it in. So there's no way you're getting me to play that one.
Yeah, it's the Commanders and Seahawks for me that have me a little up in the air because obviously no Kenneth Walker. We're anticipating Charbonnet could probably get in there. But the way that you led off this segment, Eric Bieniemy, you think he's going to run the ball? I'm with you. I can't get there even at 13-1. Even at 13-1. How about this one? And we're talking long shot, 25-1, Michael. Can we get a big man touchdown? Any offensive lineman to score a tutty 25-1?
Interesting.
Make some Thanksgiving magic.
Why not? Why not? There's always a little trickery. Remember Green Bay last year tried to throw it to one of their linemen on that play, got intercepted. Yeah, you know, the one thing about red zone is, and I think Mahomes proves this, and Big Daddy and I were having this discussion, like, why are some teams good in the red zone and some teams aren't? The red zone, you need a kind of a disruptive play, a fake play, if you will. You need something to go one way, but really it's coming back the other. Trickery, because it's so hard, the windows are so tight, it's hard to get the ball into those. So, you know, an unbalanced line to a eligible receiver is really a good play down there. Why not?
I love it. I love some holiday trickeration. Let's get the big guys involved. A thick six. Who doesn't love that? Let's go back to the run game, Michael, because we were talking about, okay, can all these rushing teams get in? Probably not. AJ Dillon, though, is listed as plus 220, for the most rushing yards in a game. Obviously, Aaron Jones is going to be unavailable. Could Dillon have the most rushing yards for a game on Thanksgiving?
I think he could. Why not? Right. But that doesn't, you're just talking about Green Bay's most rushing yards, correct?
No, this is who's going to have the
about
most
Green Bay ended.
All three
I don't
games.
See it. It's going to be hard. No, it's going to be hard to run the ball on
Detroit.
Oh, it Detroit.
Is just that game.
It's
just
going to be hard to run the ball on them.
But see, I still think no on this one because of what David Montgomery did to the Packers earlier this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be somebody from the Lions that does it or McCaffrey. I mean, Kyle will call runs. It's certainly not going to be Robinson or Antonio Gibson. We know that.
Okay. How about who will have the most passing yards on Thanksgiving? Sam Howell does lead the league in passing yards right now. 3-1 for him to lead the day. Do you want to say why not? What do you think?
Why not? Yeah, because, I mean, two things could happen. They could get – he's going to have to throw the ball to win the game, so he's going to have to throw it a lot. He calls a lot of passes. They are 31st in the league in rushing attempts, so he's going to throw the ball quite a bit. If they get behind in the game, which based on the history of how the Cowboys have been playing this year, dominating the second quarter with averaging 19 points in the first half, he's got to throw it almost every play in the second half. Why not?
So Dak is the favorite in that market at plus 275. And he's interesting because he can go off for over 400 or 150. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I stayed away from Dak.
Plus Washington secondary is terrible. I mean, it's like it really is bad. They can't cover anyone.
So
without that pass rush, it's going to be hard for them to cover. Dak's a good play.
I think he's the rightful favorite. But as I look at the quarterbacks who are playing on Thanksgiving, Michael, I think I actually want to go longer in the market. Brock Purdy plus 550. His last three games passing, 330 versus the Bucks, 296 against the Jags, 365 against the Bengals. Seattle's pass D is 21st in the league. They're not really good over the middle. I think George Kittle could have a good day. I don't know. I'm thinking, I think I want to say why not to Brock Purdy at plus 550.
I wouldn't disagree with you. I would take that number. I'd put some pizza money down on that, and there's no question because, look, Brock Purdy's good, and Kyle trusts him to throw the ball even when the game's on the line. They make plays because most of his throws are yards after the catch. I mean, he gets the ball at the right spot. Ayuk, Samuel, McCaffrey, Kittle, those guys make plays after they catch the football. Why not?
So, keeping it on the theme of the San Francisco 49ers, Michael, would they be, could you say why not to them scoring the most points on Thanksgiving? They are the third shot. The Cowboys are the favorite, followed by the Lions, then the 49ers at plus 380.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, the Niners can score, and they don't stop scoring, right? But the one thing that keeps the Niners from always having the high is they will run the ball and reduce the game a little bit. So, you know, I think that's probably why. Look, Detroit, for as much as they want to run the ball, they put 42 on, I mean, they put it on Carolina. They can move the football. Yeah. I don't think they'll stop trying to score either. But I could see it being San Francisco. I would say why not to that.
Now, we talked earlier about how obviously it's a very chalky Thanksgiving, right? We have big favorites coming up in all three games. But could you say why not to going ahead and putting together a money line three-team big favorites parlay? Or is there concern somebody's going to mess it up? It's plus 250 for these three, Lions, Cowboys, Niners, to just win, baby. Just bring it home.
Just win. It seems too easy, right? It just seems too easy. And, you know, we know the Cowboys have struggled on this day, no matter who they play. I would do it. I mean, for plus 255, I would do the money line parlay. I'm not a parlay guy. I would. It makes too much sense. My football background says yes. You know, handicapping wise, it's probably not going to happen. But from a football aspect, I say yes.
Since 2004, Thanksgiving favorites, 46-8 straight up, 85%. Just win, baby. Get it done for your girl. I think I'm going to play it just for fun. Like, I like some of these pizza money plus money props. Just have a little bit of fun with it. Now, because, Michael, the Black Friday game is on your brain, I'm going to hit you with one more. Tyreek Hill to have two or more touchdowns against the Jets, plus 425. Can it make you say why not?
I'll take it. Yeah. National TV, I'll take it. Absolutely. I'll take anything, Tyreek. Look, when the guy's responsible for 40% of the first downs throwing, why not?
I still
40%.
I still think that stat's remarkable, Michael, because when we were talking about it in the first hour, initially the way you framed it, I thought I was going to be shocked that it wasn't very many. I was like, oh, maybe he's just been a deep ball threat for Tua, so he's not getting as many just like first down specifically because he's targeted in specific areas. No, nearly 40%? That's insane.
It's insane. I mean, he makes it. That's why when you take him away and then you look at the third down numbers, I mean, he makes this offense go. He's unbelievable.
Again, on target, the way that he has played so far to set the receiving yards record in the National Football League, 9 receiving touchdowns so far this season as well. Okay, that was a fun edition of Why Not Wednesday, diving into all of the Thursday Thanksgiving games as well as Black Friday. We're going to continue the Thanksgiving talk when we come back. We have heard all of the words that are coming out of Twitter right now about what the dishes are that everybody needs to have on Thanksgiving. We've got a fantasy food draft coming up next. We got $20 based on this graphic that our guy Caesar and DraftKings have put together. What is our Thanksgiving meal that we're putting together tomorrow? We'll get to that as well as Michael's top 5 and bottom 5 teams in the National Football League. Stay with us.